the ebb and flow, God's eternal law abides. When tears dim our vision, grief clouds our understanding, we may lose sight of God's eternal plan. Yet we know that growth and decay, life and death, all reveal God's divine purpose. The one who is our support in the struggles of life is also our hope in death. We have set God before us and shall not despair. God's hands are the souls of all the living and the spirits of all flesh. Under God's protection we abide, and by God's love are we comforted. The life of our life, soul of our soul. Lord, cause your light to shine into our hearts and fill our spirits today with abiding trust in you. As we begin our service today, which will be approximately 1 hour, I would like to invite everyone who's standing to raise your hand to the seat next to you. I think it would be more comfortable, and I think there are plenty of seats. So there's some chairs over there and here. Thank you.
Goodness and love have followed me all the days
speaks some words from very, very special people. I'm going to invite these individuals to come up in a moment in this order. And each one will speak from his or her own heart, as I will include with a few words in the prayer at the end. We will have words from son Harley, daughter Sally, Dudley Rubin, son, and Judy Morell will read from the book of Proverbs, the woman of Valor. Then cousin Al Alma will speak. Michael will be on from the National daughter Peggy.
And everything was handwritten. Now that was involved. I'm sure it'll take years for all of us to find gallant homes, but those lists define my mom. Knowing every last detail, every specific, and who everyone belonged to in their family tree, that's regeneration, that's control. But the third C, definitely the most important C that defines mom, is community. Lucy has had so much influence on so many communities that I know I will leave some out of the comments, so I apologize up front. Let me list some of those communities. For growing up here on Cherry Street, Garfield High School, Deacon Pie Sorority, Temple of Hurst Sinai, Ezzy Bezzy, Temple of Daytora, Glendale Country Club, Temple Choral Group, Jewish Community Center, Bridge Club, Pine Gallon Home, Isqua Theater, Washington Jewish Historical Society, Garfield Golden Arches, and so on, and so on. I might talk about the three communities that I believe best describe the importance of the life. The rabbis and all things Jewish, her family, the Klein Gallon Home. Jewish life has always been the center of mom's world. Be it singing with Daniel Goldfarb, creating plays, including writing the lyrics and songs, or just being the services, the prayers and melodies were always the central foundation of mom. So why did I talk about the rabbis, the canners, the Jewish educators? Because Lucy influenced each one of them. Those that are present, those that left Seattle, and those who are no longer with us, mom held her own with these highly educated souls. She would discuss in depth the nuances of the different aspects of Jewish religion, from Orthodox to conservative to Reform to all other religions. Lucy was a student all her life. Her love of all things apart, along with her willingness to learn and appreciate Yiddish, was amazing to see in action. The joy mom had when deep discussions with Tanner Abrams, Rabbi Morrell, Rabbi Gritz, and respected love to Samuel Goldfarb and Rabbi Levine, bestowed upon her at an early age. And even her ability to connect my own clergy, Rabbi Kahan and Tanner Schiff, all speak volumes of the influence mom had in the Jewish life in the Northwest. An amazing thing happened around the coach this year. One of our dear friends, Rana Dishman Green, in her fourth year of cantorial school in New York, was given a song to learn for the holiday. The song was Guests in the Sukkah, lyrics by Boni Scherer and Lucille Spring. The song was copyrighted in 1988. Long after Bonia had left Seattle. Now that is an amazing influence that one person, Lucy, always had. She made us better and made us do the right things. Bonia didn't need to include my mom's name on that song, but he did. Family, where to begin? We're not talking about my brother and I, nor my sisters and our children, or her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Family to my mom was the entire family, everyone here. I still find it amazing that my mother in the 1950s could blend two families into one. The party of an Eskenazi man, and one that was divorced with two daughters. Truly, Lucy was on the leading edge of today's modern family, 60 years earlier. The amazing part is how she made up one family. I have fond memories of growing up with my sister, and for many events, having a nice lady, Marge Spring, join us. When Rob and I were getting engaged, I was trying to tell her who's who in the family. And she would ask who Marge was. It was just a simple answer. She was Sally and Peggy's mom. Just a simple fact. The point is, there's one family, one very, very, very large family. And that is what mom loved. Sunday night dinners were always a integral part of the weekend. Lucy loved bringing to life the family trees of both the Spring family and the cousins of the Pihon Montserrat and Melon and Franco. It isn't just nieces and nephews, but first and second cousins, third and fourth cousins, fifth and sixth cousins. Everyone was treated the same, an integral part of mom's theme. The hardest thing for my mom was to create invitation lists to life events. She always knew someone would get left off and she would offend someone and that really unsettled her. It might be the reason I still blame my bar mitzvah at Temple of the Hirsch, still the largest one ever, and my brother's close second. But all that would not have mattered without Dad. The marriage of 45 years, the marriage of beauty, something all of us can measure ourselves against, a true blessing. They were each other's best friend, supporter, cheerleader, and his biggest fan. The Klein Gallon Home. Lucy had three distinctive careers. The first, Temple of the Hirsch, the next, the Jewish Community Center, and her last chapter, Klein Gallon Home. I still can't believe my mom worked at Klein Gallon Home for nearly 30 years. The door of a door from generation to generation, as the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, teaches us, you should rise before the elderly and honor the aged. My mom instilled into all of us that duty. We have to take care of the elderly. My mom was involved with Klein Gallon forever, and I do mean forever. With my dad's parents, my mom's parents all spending time in the home, it was a place we frequented and often. For Lucy, it truly was a privilege to give back, to make those last days, months, and years a little more special. What she created with the volunteer program will continue on. I remember one time I asked my mom why she did it, why she kept working. Her answer was simple and goes back to her true fabric. This is what I'm supposed to do. One of her hardest days was when Jana retired from St. Gallen. A very sad day for her and for us. Her belief in the Jewish Proverbs, values, and principles guide her actions every day. The smiles and comfort she brought individuals and families are too numerous to count. Her ability to connect with all generations and make each of us feel special and unique with the same beauty. And yes, the question will change. In closing, Lucy had her own way of making us feel special. She did her way by being involved, by being present, and by being engaged. Next time someone asks you to volunteer for something, if it's something you were involved in already, or something new, you want more from Mom. Spend a little more of your time and energy to make someone else's life a little better. Mom did that each and every day. We're all better for it. Our community is stronger for it. I am proud that Lucy was able to establish a generous financial fund. Lucy and Bernice bring funds for enhancement of Jewish life at Pine Gallon Center. Help keep her dreams alive.
Spending time camping on the Washington coast with an old army tent that smelled and had no floor, we ate sand for days. We spent time with them sometimes during the holidays and often in the summer. We just hoped that Lou would be on time to meet our train from Portland. As our brothers were born, we became babysitters. We have happy memories of sitting on the front porch watching the lightning streak across the sky and once even the aurora borealis. We had picnics with Lou's mom and dad, Nana Vicki and Papa Pinky, and visits to the Pike Place Market to visit Papa at work. I remember coming to Temple to Hirsch and watching Lou's work and sitting with Mr. G. When Howard and I became engaged, my mother moved to Seattle just before our wedding in 1968. Lou was the bridge. She encouraged all of our grandparents to participate in our wedding. And after that, she was instrumental, including my mother, Marjorie, in many family affairs. Lou sang Sunrise and Sunset for our special day. It will always remain in my heart. Who invites their parents on their honeymoon? Well, we did, at least to the second one. We went camping together on Mount Rainier, and to say that Lou and Rudy were an inspirational role model of what a marriage should be is an understatement. This past summer, we hit 45 years of marriage. I kept thinking, that's what my dad and Lou had. They worked hard and they played hard, and they went by my dad's unfailing rule to never go to bed angry. While Lou was always said she was a poor traveler, together they especially enjoyed Israel and visiting Arizona. Some of Lou's final words were to love and take care of each other. Her illness brought our entire family closer together in unmeasurable ways. We laughed, cried, and ate together. We were the family she always wanted and supported in her very own way. There was not a single member of our immediate family that didn't live in the house at one time or another. We brought our first child and their first grandchild home to that house. While Lou wasn't the best of cooks, we all came to love her pink rice, and not a Hanukkah will go by that we won't all think of socks. And birthdays that were gifted by a dollar for each year of your life, and the dinners and the parties in the back deck with croquet and badminton in the yard. And my daughter reminded me of the ping pong matches in the basement. We recently started to clean out the basement, and Lou had attached notes to everything. Her way of documenting and keeping everything of importance. My favorite was how she labeled everything that would go on each serving platter before a party. And that's one I still follow today. Most of us will agree she wasn't the best driver. And we often worried about her driving at night. Once she was going to Shiva, but she couldn't find the address, and she drove around for 3 hours before accepting defeat. She attacked her cell phone and her computer at work with the same zest. Never quite mastering either. Bubba Lou took delight in watching our children grow up. She had a very special relationship with each one of them. She had an ongoing joke with our son Steve and all the grandkids about her height. They all measured themselves against her and were proud to say that they passed her up. Steve even used to pick her up. Lou said that she would qualify as an official little person. This summer, she especially enjoyed her time with her four great-grandchildren, blowing her whistle to referee a football game in the backyard. Each of us takes away a picture, a memory of the woman we all knew. Her bravery throughout this illness is memorable. Lou, you are now free of pain, so in peace, we love you. May your memory always be a blessing.
Say a couple of things to remember when I hear Cousin Lou. Lou has been a major factor in my life. After 2 weeks trip to Seattle in 1950 and again in 1963, I moved here from Georgia in 1967, and it was Lou that helped me make Seattle my own home by showing me the beauty of Seattle, the place to eat and where to be in 1960s, providing me a place to stay when I needed it, cheering me up when I was down, sharing with me the happy times we had together. She was and is my little sister. She took care of me. And in some small way, I thought I was there for her. Lou fondly would say that I was her ninth birthday present. Since we were both born on April 17th. But I suspect we'd rather have dinner for you. Maybe a dog or an ice, my father. You know, I used to tease Lou about her life occasionally by calling her my little cousin. But in truth, she towers over me. The giant in her family, the community, and the city. Caring for others, whether by putting on numerous musical performances throughout her life, powerfully caring for the many older members of our community making their lives better, or pulling our family together in many cousins' picnics and is unparalleled, where she got her boundless energy for this beautiful. I'm still working on the family tree that she started with that little treatment. Over the past several weeks, I had the fortune to be able to sit and talk with Lou about many varied subjects. While we talked about a number of things, vacations, trips, dinners, plays, family gatherings, and much, much more. But one thing that stands out is, she said she has had a whole lot. One filled with joy, happiness, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. While she certainly knew the degree of her illness and pain, she was always cheerful, responsive, eager to talk. In fact, if you only listened to her, it was hard to know that she was the illness. She only reason she could not attend for a better life. All I can say is, part of your message, better life is better for you. So less than 5 feet, she passed a giant chest of caring, responsibility, and kindness. We love you, Luke, and we'll miss you, as you will always be in our hearts and souls.
I love my cousin Lucille. and with hope, and we'll all be welcome. What's not to love about the princess? She leaves behind a great family, a garden party, and seven families. May she rest in peace. She was free to suffer. Cousin, now, Abby, and Noah.
Start off with a little poem that my son saw at Lucille's 80th birthday. Grandmothers and grannies, I've known a few. Some are special, I'm sure that's true. But in the world, there's only one Bubba Lou. She's quick-witted, smart, and usually funny. She writes all her notes, you know, she's kind. He can whip up great trees, hear an empty tummy, and with musical charm, she's always in harmony. But it's her loving spirit that sets Bubba Lou apart, and always warming kindness and ever growing up. She gives her love freely to everyone old and new, to neighbors and family, to Gentile and Jew. Her philosophy is a guide to a life that's honest and true. Thank you for your time. I love you, Bubba Lou. So, this is a note that thank you for taking note to Lucille. She, we went on a cruise and Lou gave us a nice going away present. Thank you for letting us learn the lesson of helping. I just wanted to ease the journey, the pain without the picture. I see your strength reflected in the peace of your son, who stand alone, surrounded by loving care from so many. You are the teacher, keeper of papers, pictures, and duplicates about the lives you embrace and the family you are known. You see me as I am, one child born in marriage, looking into your house when others are not crying. Words are not enough, deeds are not enough, love is not enough to make the journey greater. The song of pages are an outcome of good, language holds their melodies changing as one voice fades. I want nothing more than to help you ease the way. To help you for the lessons to treasure more than life. Now, I first met Bubba Lou at a family gathering, some warm. Now, we kept everything, whether it was just from her wedding, there were emails to her for the music, going from the junior choirs. On tour. But the thing she held most tight to were family and friends. Lucille would become her friends. She seemed to know everybody. Debbie and I would stop over at her services, talk about at least a portion. Mostly we talk about people who were there, who were the ones that she knew, the parents, probably the grandparents. I said I met Lucille this last time at one of her many family gatherings. Did you feel welcoming and warm after that gathering in service to him as opposed to taking? There have been more gatherings I can count. But the saddest one is we will miss you.
because of her, I grew up with a keen sense that family is of the utmost importance. At the age of 5, my mom would have me get on the phone to Nightingale to place a call to her uncle of my navigation. This was an early teaching on how to cultivate a rich relationship with my family. Our home was regularly filled with extended family and lifelong friends for holidays and joyous Simchat life cycle milestones. My friends have shared their incredible appreciation for her welcome in her home, most precisely like my wife again, making me so aware of her existence. An active Jewish life was a given growing up in our family, and Mom instilled a strong sense of pride in our Ashkenazi. My mom had a great friendship and sweet love affair with my dad. They held hands on the couch, enjoyed ballroom dancing at festive occasions, and worked through life challenges with an open and honest dialogue. While they worked hard to raise a family, they made time for playing golf, bridge club, camping, and UW Husky football games. The 4 decades of New Year's Day parties they put on in our family home for the Huskies at the Rose Bowl were a delight for family, friends, and neighbors. Albert Einstein, a rebbe of science in the cosmos, once said, "There are two ways to live. You can live as if nothing is a miracle. You can live as if everything is a miracle." My mom had a high degree of curiosity and always shown a keen interest in the affairs of people she came to know. From her, I learned that the simple activities can bring great joy. My mom's upbeat, can-do attitude was contagious. One of my earliest memories of one-on-one time with Mom was going to the movie house in downtown Seattle to see Fantasia. A child of the 1930s Great Depression, going to the movies with her friends was a weekly highlight for me. She passed her love of musicals and comedies onto us. Many fun nights at the John Dan Theater or the drive-in just a mile from our home. To this day, I love my red vine. Not because of the palatory flavor, but the tasty, wonderful memory of the table. My mom was a prankster and loved me. Joke books, gag gifts, Alan Sherman albums, and stacks and stacks and stacks of printed email jokes are evidence of my mom's love of laughter. Because of her playfulness with words and rhyme, I too enjoy puns and comical endeavors. Most recently, she has said, "I'm not small, I'm fun-sized." Yes, with a big emphasis on fun. Did I mention singing? As a director of multiple temple choirs, both youth and adults, Lucy would be practicing, leading, or performing music most every day. Her joy for singing was palpable. I, too, have a passion for singing, and am blessed with good musical genes. As a result, I spent much of my weekends growing up at Temple, the Hirsch Sinai, participating in choirs and being her helper when her responsibilities kept her working well after most had gone home. It was my mom from whom I learned discipline, dedication, and mastery. My mom's career as a musician began at the age of 15 when Temple music director Samuel Goldfarb, having witnessed her abilities, asked that she lead a separate assembly with well over 200 people, including many parents. She took on the challenge. Shortly thereafter, Mr. G asked her to join Temple's staff as a teacher. Over the next 55 years, she developed her soprano voice into an instrument of service. She has always been educated first. She's inspired many children and young adults to serve their community through music. Her cousin, lifelong friend, and musical duet partner, Kathy Barocas, shared this about my mom when introducing her in 2005 as she received the Power of One Award from the Women's Endowment Foundation. Lucy had a real talent for poetry and prose. Together with a love of Jewish religion and music, she contributed immensely to the Temple of the Hirsch Sinai Religion School. Writing plays for Purim and Hanukkah, writing parodies for popular songs, directing the choirs, and ultimately becoming the Temple's musical coordinator. One of her outstanding endeavors was directing Fiddler on the Roof with the Junior Choir. They were very successful productions and wonderful learning experiences for the youth involved. Lucille's energy was boundless. She is a stickler for details. We have sung together, Kathy and Lucy, as duet for almost 50 years, especially our famous Great Along Tour every Hanukkah. She's always making sure the mics and pianos are positioned correctly and bustling around till she thinks it's okay to begin. Yes, my mom had a knack for theatrical productions. My childhood junior choir buddy, Larry Altos, recently shared with me, Lucy had an excellent sense of theatrical timing, with a bit of schmaltz mixed in. As I developed my guitar accompanying skills in my late teens, my mom and I collaborated together in Sabbath services, life cycle rituals, and Jewish education through music. While my home for the last 23 years is in Port Townsend, 3 hours from Bellevue, we each made it a priority to collaborate through music and our love of Judaism. Kathy Barocas, you're right. She was always a stickler for details, and I am better for it. I will always treasure our time together preparing for and presenting Sephardic Jews at the Pike Place Market to the Jewish communities at the Olympic Peninsula in April 2006. We wove together our personal stories from years of working with Papa Pinky at the market with history of the Seattle Sephardic community, Ladino songs, and the excellent documentary by video of Stephen Sadis, our cousin. My mom is and will always be, I'm sure famous Britain, my best teacher. For the last 30 years, the Pine Gallon Center has been her second home. She cultivated deep friendships with her colleagues, taking tremendous satisfaction in developing and expanding the religious and cultural opportunities for residents. Always on the go, Lucy is famous for sweeping through the halls of the Klein in her red-hot go-go boots. Meanwhile, she found time to volunteer for community and Jewish entities throughout Greater Seattle, from the Glendale Women's Golf Association to the Garfield Grad Union Organizing to the Oral History Project for the Jewish Women's Archive. My mom invests time and creativity in what she values. For me, her contributions to the Klein Gallon Center are for an ultimate work of art. My mom lived a full and rich life. These last couple years, when her health challenges weighed heavy on those who loved her, she was a pillar of strength and a generosity of spirit. In this, as in all her endeavors, she was a model for how to live a righteous, compassionate, and meaningful life. And I continue to receive new lessons from her. A few weeks ago, she shared with me that Dorme Dorme was one of her most favorite Ladino melodies from our Sephardic tradition. I have created an arrangement to this lullaby to send her on her journey home to Godhead. And she will be singing with the angels.